This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello and good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time of day is you happen to be listening. Thank you for joining us here in the Fandom Nexus Retro Show Podcast. I, of course, am your Spider-Pan, as you were just informed, and I've got some fun for you today. We're definitely doing some retro, and I'm actually connecting this to another podcast that is part of the Neverland Network of Podcasts, found at neverlandpodcast.com. Watching Movies with My Pastor, and I've released this episode already here Wednesday of this week. We sat down and we watched No Time for Sergeants. Patreon and Red Circle exclusive members got a chance to see get that early on Tuesday. But with the tie-in, that was sort of the beginning. That's the first time Andy Griffith worked with Don Knotts, although Don Knotts only has a small bit in there. But they end up working together, of course, on the Andy Griffith Show. And so this episode, I have Pastor Philip coming with me. He's the biggest Andy Griffith fan I know. And we're going to talk about the Andy Griffith Show, because if you're a Gen Xer like me, odds are, or even the millennials, you know, when you were young, you probably watched this on syndication growing up, right? This is not new territory for us, but it probably had some sort of foundation to you. And there were definitely some good lessons to be learned from that show, and a lot of laughs to be had. So we're going to talk all about that today, as well as, of course, covering some of our basic news and things like that and information that we normally do on the show. So we're going to have some fun together. And after you have fun here, go make sure you listen to the Watching Movies with My Pastor. And I do recommend listening through the normal Red Circle links, because trying to put a video version onto YouTube, there was some copyright issues with a lot of the audio, and I just told it to trim everything out, and I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm just letting it do what it didn't like. You know, everything it didn't like, I'm letting it trim it out. So the version on YouTube, or probably it's going to be in Google Podcasts, is going to be really bad. So I always recommend with the podcast. I mean, sometimes there's video versions of the podcast that's pretty good, but I always recommend just subscribing to a podcast through the audio on Red Circle, because you will get what I mean for you to hear. And of course, if you are a member of Patreon or a Red Circle exclusive member, you get these episodes early. You get these episodes without ads. And also, of course, with Watch a Movie with My Pastor, I do a watch along version of it where you can kind of hear a little bit of the audio. So you can kind of watch along with us and listen to the podcast as you watch the film, which hopefully you have a copy of it. It was actually on sale for $5 through a lot of streaming services. And I don't know how easy you could find a DVD of it, but I definitely got recommended. It was a fun movie, but I feel like I'm spoiling what you're going to find out if you listen to the Watching Movies with My Pastor podcast when we watch the movie, because you'll get our opinions, of course, on that as well. But all right, so the usual things before Philip joins us. What have I been watching? Well, on Netflix, you know, I've been talking about it. They have the Hulk Hogan Real American series, docuseries that WWE produced and is on Netflix. I did sit down and watch that in an entirely. My wife even sat and watched it and kind of liked watching it. And she's not even into wrestling or anything, but she enjoyed watching it. You know, it's interesting, you know, as a look at Terry Bollea, and I was familiar with a lot of the stuff. You know, he struggled a lot through his life, and it wasn't till the end. And I kind of wish they could have played some of the clips from, I think it was either CBN. I think that sat down and interviewed him after his wife that he had at the time got him back to church, and he got rebaptized and recommitted his life to Christ and turned it all around, because he had a lot of mistakes in his personal life through a lot of years. And I know how a lot of people are out in the public. They don't forgive you for your foibles. God does, you know. So when you've given your life to Christ, all those things are wiped away. And as a Christian, when someone's come to Christ, you know, when they've done a lot of bad things, you know, like Russell Brand, you know, it's a whole other issue I'm not going to get into. But, you know, he's got mistakes in his past. But I'm like, OK, if he is now my brother in Christ and God has forgiven him and wiped those away, well, I shouldn't be holding that kind of thing against him. That's not my place to do it, right? I should say, okay, well, this is a new Russell Brand. He is a new creation in Christ. So this is a new person. And that goes for Hulk Hogan. Terry Bollea became a new person when I don't know that he claims he was a Christian at age 14, but his life didn't seem to reflect that until here in these last few years. So from what I'm going from the change in his life in his later years, that, you know, he is now my brother in Christ, and I'm going from that. That's the way I can view things as a Christian. Like, if there's stuff people that did before they were a Christian, they come out and say, my life is new. I've given my life to Christ. I'm a whole different person. Now, you know, I understand that. And so I treat it like how God's going to look at it. He's going to wipe away all that past, and let's look at who they are now. And occasionally you get disappointed. You got like Kanye West, who just fell completely off the wagon. I don't know what's going on in his head. I don't, you know, and we wonder sometimes when they fall off the wagon, it's like, okay, did you come out this the wrong way to where you didn't really come to Christ? You just kind of went through some of the motions to look like you did, but you didn't really. And maybe you thought you did, but you didn't really. I don't know. It's hard to say with people like Kanye West, what's going on. But when what they start doing and there's something after they're supposed to be a Christian, and whether he gave his life and whether he was serious and meant that or not is between him and the Lord. But when they do horrible things after that, that's when you say, OK, no, now I have a problem with you. And that is using good judgment, which we are told in the Bible to do. It's to use good judgment. And but the world, however, who tells us, don't judge me, will go through. And when you have mistakes in your past, they will always hold it against you. They will never forgive you. They will never let it go. And there's been a lot of that with Terry Bollea's life, you know, where he's made mistakes and everybody knows it. But his mistakes really aren't worse than anybody else's. There's people who have done worse things than he has. You know, but they'll never let those go, and they will always hold it against it and always judge him for that and hate on him for that. So, but all overall, it was an entertaining look at his life and with all the ups and the downs. And if you are a fan of 80s wrestling, I think you would enjoy it. So definitely check that out. And there goes my phone dinging at me, which I'm going to ignore that and put that over here. OK, so what have I been playing? Well, you know what? I guess it's a comfort game, but Stardew Valley, I keep sitting on that. I know I need to go through and I kind of started like Resident Evil 9. I want to try to do the speed run where you try to do it under 4 hours. You try not to, for anyone who's familiar with this, you try not to use any health items, but you also try not to use this a device that helps you craft things. And when you're playing as Grace, I guess you're still allowed to get things as Leon on his bits, because it doesn't say anything about, you know, upgrading your guns. It just says you can't craft things and you can't use any health items. So I'm going to attempt to do that, but that would be a stress inducing thing and a challenge. And I have to be in the right mental capacity to do that kind of thing. And I really haven't been, because the long drawn out wait that I have of whether or not I get my old job back has gone farther than I thought it would have. I thought I would have heard something by now, and I haven't. Even though I've spoken with some coworkers and they really want to have me back, and they're really trying to do what they can from their point, from their location, you know, what they're doing, what they can to try to get me to be able to come back. But I have an HR person that I have to work with from the new company, and they're the ones that's going to make the decision. And they have other people who have applied for it, and I guess they're giving them, of course, you know, a fair shake. There's a total of 4 of us that are within consideration from last I heard. And so I'm just, even though I'm the guy who had the job before, I'm having to compete for it because it's a different company, and I've done everything I can, and I'm stuck waiting. And I don't want to bring the show down, but yeah, it's been rough. So let's go and talk about a little bit of news going around.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, so this is from the New York Post. Kellogg's is going to bring back cereal box toys. And adults apparently are getting excited. I try to not get the expensive cereals, and I try to eat healthy cereals, somewhat healthy cereals. I don't know. Is cereal really healthy? But I try to get the Malto Meal ones. But you know what? They've got a picture of a Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, and it has a little weird looking collectible spoon here. They show on here where it's Jesse from Toy Story 5. And I guess maybe it's her face sits in front of the spoon part, and then you take it off and it says spoon. Then inside Fruit Loops, you got some more Toy Story 5. You got collectible character cards. So, I mean, it looks like it's a connection with Toy Story 5, but I see how this makes sense. And this might be just promotion for Toy Story 5, but I have an idea that this might be a good way to promote what's kind of going on with, you know, like the storyline. We know Toy Story 5 is trying to look like, hey, we're getting all these electronical devices and we would like physical toys. You know, if there's something about that. And so they're like, hey, let's do something else that's kind of a retro. And like, can we work with a cereal manufacturer to put toys in it? So, you know what? If you want to encourage to have a toys in a cereal box, buy these for your kids or for yourself. You know, if you happen to be me and, you know, I don't have any kids, I have cats, you know, and if they had cat food with a toy inside that the cat would enjoy to play with a toy, I would probably buy it. You know, just like, here, kitties, fight over it. There's three of them, you know, so. But, you know, that's pretty wild. So I think we can encourage them to keep this going. I think that's adults think that's a fun idea. Kids would probably enjoy it. The only thing is you probably have to buy a box of cereal for every kid you have. So everybody gets one. You work the rule is like whoever's bullet falls into. Of course, they're in the later years of doing this because I used to collect like cereal stuff like they for Star Wars with the prequels were coming out. They had lightsaber spoons and they was outside, if I remember correctly, the bag and its own little baggie kind of underneath. So it was a different sort of thing. But speaking of Star Wars, Hasbro is releasing a movie accurate Baby Yoda animatronic later this year for $599.99. Yes, a $600 Baby Yoda. This according to People Magazine. Hasbro is saying we talk about dream products a lot in the toy business. What is the product that would be a dream to develop? A dream for a fan to get their hands on? This creation is that. That's according to Adam Beal, who's head of Disney Action Brands at Hasbro. So... this is supposed to be a tie-in. This is Ultimate Grogu. He's got 250 animations and sound combinations, a lot of different stuff going on. There's a little bit of video. Let's see if I can play. Well, no, that's not because it looks like people. This might be just some audio from it, but it might be People Magazine doing a little bit of a full story on this. But this film is coming out this month, and I keep seeing a lot of stuff where like younger audiences really not interested. It seems like they're a lot of sources are saying this might only make about 65 million. They're expecting this to bomb underneath Solo, which I can see it kind of bombed. I liked Solo overall. There are some problems I had with it, mainly at least one character that was extremely annoying, and they turned the Kessel Run into something kind of lame compared to what we expected. But overall, I mean, I still enjoyed a lot of that, and I actually. The changes they did to how Chewbacca was supposed to have been rescued by Han Solo or something from being a slave or something. I kind of liked that old story instead of what they turned it into, which I guess is now the canon because that's what they put in the movie. But yeah, so Solo was kind of a bomb and this they expect to be worse. So, I mean, I'm still thinking to go see it. I've kind of turned around with looking at some of the teasers like, you know what? It looks like fun. I'm going to go. I'm probably going to have some fun with it. So it might end up being terrible, but I don't know. The interest is apparently not there from the predictions, but we'll see. You know, the predictions can be wrong. They are just that. They are predictions. But, you know, that's what they're kind of counting on, people spending $600 on a Grogu toy. I got one that's I got it on sale and it is. I'd say it's about the right size. It doesn't have all the animations that this one has, but I only had to buy it for like $20. I mean. I got a pretty good price, but you can feed him things and all this stuff, and it's fun. I usually don't have him switched on. He just kind of sits there over there with a lot of other Spider-Man toys and things, just kind of looking fun there. But I don't usually like turn him on to do stuff with it, but it is a really kind of a cute, fun little toy. So I would recommend maybe getting that one instead of $600 for it. I mean, I've got some expensive Aerith figures here on my desk, but $600? No, sir. Have not spent that much on what would be a toy. I've only spent something like that on like a PlayStation, you know, a game system, which I can do a lot of things with compared to a toy like that. Especially one that's not really an imaginative toy. It does a bunch of features. It does a lot of things and it is very cool, but I'd like to see how well it sells. And it kind of depends probably on interest in this movie and in the character. I think they've kind of pushed Grogu too much. And you really never graduate past people calling him Baby Yoda, even though he's not Yoda. whatever. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about Dubby. So if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find a big logo for Dubby. Dubby, if you need energy, you know, playing video games, you don't want the jitters, you don't want all the caffeine and all the sugar and all that stuff, Dubby has drink mixes. Yeah, mix it with water. You can even buy bottles for it, all kinds of different flavors. Give the healthy energy you need from Dubby and use the discount code Neverland, which you can, if you just click on that link right there, that Dubby text right on NeverlandPodcast.com, it's going to take you right there. It's going to apply the discount code. Buy whatever you want, and I get a little bit of a kickback, so it helps out the show. So with that, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be joined by Pastor Philip.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get mouth-watering proteins delivered right to your door, individually packaged and portioned, so a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast, taste the Omaha Steaks difference. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Are you a fan of Adventures in Odyssey, Lamplighter Theater, or Jonathan Park? Want to join other fans for discussions or behind-the-scenes info about these shows? Or maybe you're looking for more great audio drama to listen to with your family. Do you enjoy hearing exclusive interviews with the cast and crew of your favorite shows? Then Audio Theater Central is the podcast for you. I'm J.D. Sutter. Since 2010, Audio Theater Central has been exploring the family-friendly audio drama world through news, reviews, and interviews. Join me and a rotating cast of co-hosts each month for another episode featuring the latest updates, in-depth reviews of new releases, and conversations with the actors, writers, directors, sound designers, and composers who create your favorite audio dramas. And maybe we'll introduce you to some great shows you've never heard of before. Find us at audiotheatercentral.com or in your favorite podcast app. That's audiotheatercentral.com.
Okay, so now I'm sitting here with Pastor Philip.
Hello.
And of course, the reason why I had to do this now, I have mentioned, and I'm going to mention it again, I'm sure it's been mentioned previously in the podcast, I'm recording this before I record any other parts of this particular show, that we are doing kind of a tie-in with watching movies with my pastor.
Yes.
We were actually just watching No Time for Sergeants, which is Andy Griffith's first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got Don Knotts has got a small part in it, which is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
And we figured this was a good tie-in to what we're going to talk about with the Andy Griffith Show, which ran from 1960 to 1968 on CBS for 8 seasons, 249 episodes, as a spinoff of the Danny Thomas Show. Andy Taylor first appeared there. And we were actually discussing this in the other show, that on the Danny Thomas Show is actually where this got started. Like the first, the pilot episode was part of a Danny Thomas show.
Yeah, it did. There was a Andy Griffith. They had a, I'm trying to see where, which episode it was. I was right now looking at well, you can look that up probably, but
I thought you had it. I thought it was knowledge that you had right off the top of your head.
Right now, I'm looking at my favorite episodes of Andy Griffith that I was.
But either way, the first episode was on a Danny Thomas Show, and you've seen that episode though, right?
Oh, it's really good. Let me look real quick here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good episode where he goes into Mayberry, and I own that episode actually. My brother was nice to put it onto a DVD.
Danny Thomas goes into Mayberry, I guess.
Yeah, let me see what it says.
Well, while he's looking that up, they filmed it primarily at the Dead Sea Loose Studios, which became part of Paramount.
Yeah, it's the Danny Thomas Show, Season 7, Episode 20. And it's called Danny Meets Andy Griffith.
Ah, okay.
The pilot for the Andy Griffith Show, where Danny Thomas' character, Danny Williams, gets arrested by Sheriff Andy Taylor in Mayberry for running a stop sign, leading to a humorous clash and eventually friendship as Danny learns about the town's unique charm and in Andy's many roles as sheriff, justice of the peace, and newspaper editor. Now, some of that, of course, changed. And you do see the actress who plays Aunt Bee, but she doesn't play Aunt Bee. And Opie is in it, but there is no Barney in that. In fact, after that episode aired, Don Knotts, who's friends with Andy, said, "Hey, I think you need a deputy."
Yeah. Yeah, it gave somebody for them to play off of. Off of each other so well. Now, it has been pointed out since I was talking about that they filmed it at the Desilu Studios. Mm-hmm. That street, I've seen other like YouTube videos where they point out that there's an episode of The Twilight Zone. You can recognize that street, and also Star Trek. Yeah, yes. When they go back in time, they use
too.
that same street there, which is part of the Paramount Studios
there's
now.
A few other shows, and I'm trying to remember who. Well, you know what? It might have been Ron Howard's brother who was in some shows.
He was in Star Trek.
Yeah, he was in quite a few other things where they used that town, that when they went to do the Return to Mayberry reunion movie, they had to find another town because they didn't have that anymore. So they had to basically find a town that looked similar enough, you know, and so they did. I mean, you got to understand this was like 25 years later.
Yeah.
In 85.
Goodness sakes.
I think it was 86 at that point, but it was 25 years later when they made it. So
yeah, and I bet you got a copy of that too, don't you?
Oh yeah,
of course you do.
Even a bought and copy, even.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I got. Oh yeah, you know me. That's my favorite show of all time. I can watch it anytime.
Yeah,
I love it.
First five seasons were in black and white. They switched to color around season six. Now, at what point Don Knotts left?
He left. He left at season five, right after season five. So, if you want the best seasons, in my opinion, the best seasons are the black and white.
Yeah,
and then. Don, I still showed up in about three or four episodes. Let me turn this down. About three or four episodes, Don shows up in the color.
Yeah, and it's just not the same without him there. So
he even showed up.
And even with Gomer Pyle leaving. When Gomer left, you know. Although, Goober was still a great character.
Yeah.
But Gomer leaving to get his own show and everything was kind of changed things.
Goober wasn't as good. In fact, he was only on one episode with Gomer. But it was a good episode.
Yeah. And that the fun thing is finding that girls. Actor, he's like very much a Shakespearean actor.
George Lindsay.
He's a great actor.
He eventually changed his name to George Goober Lindsay.
Yeah. Because he didn't want to be associated. And then he decided, you know what? That's cool. Everybody loves me for this one part.
And so
when
he was on Hee Haw,
he still was Goober.
Yeah, he was Goober.
Yeah.
He used the Goober hat and everything.
Yes.
That Goober hat, you know, most people don't know this or do. I don't know. The old hats that the kids used to wear.
Yeah.
When you see people like that.
It's even like the same kind of hat like that Jughead.
Yeah.
Those
used to be the hats that the little rascals would wear, you know. And those were originally fedoras. And when the dads were done with them and they were about to throw them out or whatever, they would cut them up and they would put the little fedora rims up. And then they put pins and things on them.
Hmm.
And then eventually people would try to... through companies, start making their own, and then try to, you could buy pins in comic books and stuff for like a nickel, you know.
Oh, golly.
But you could get like Casper pins, you know how it is.
Well, you know, that's kind of what we do, like in my backpack. I've got pins I've gotten from other podcasts and stuff. I put in my backpacks that I wear and take to convention
and
stuff.
That's what they used to do. Well, we used to do that on remember our jeans jackets back in the late 80s, early 90s?
Oh, I was not cool enough to have a jeans jacket at the right time for that, you know.
I don't know that cool is right.
I was poor. I was not cool.
Yeah, so was I. Right?
I was one of the people that I saw the kids, they were rolling up their pant legs, and I said, you look like you're waiting for a flood on purpose.
Yes, but I stole my brothers.
I've outgrown some of my pants, but like when they rolled them up, I was like, you know, that kind of looks stupid.
1988, 89,
but that's not how you became one of the cool kids.
I stole my brother's stuff, you know. He was now too small, and I was only his size for like half a month.
Gracious.
Anyway, my personal favorite episodes. Do you want me to tell those or?
Well, we're getting there. Okay, we're getting there. I will lead the way. I am the host.
Oh, sorry.
I will get you there. I will get you there because I bet we're going to have some similar episode choices.
Oh, yeah.
But it was created by Sheldon Leonard, who also helped shape the tone of many classic sitcoms. Mm-hmm. Bill Cosby tells stories about Sheldon Leonard being his boss, and the way he talks and has a great story.
Yeah.
Now, the intro song was a famous whistling theme. It's called, of course, The Fishing Hole.
That's right.
It's composed by Earl Hagen, and that's actually Earl Hagen that's whistling it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Now, it says here in some of the notes that Andy Griffith hated singing, which is why they went with whistling set of lyrics, but I don't believe that. I don't think that's true, because Andy Griffith would sing in his stage show and his comedy. He sang and recorded albums and everything, but maybe they just didn't like the way it came out with him singing it.
Well, then they didn't add lyrics to it up until this 1970s, early 80s, and a man put lyrics to it, and called The Fishing Hole.
So the lyrics weren't there before?
No, they weren't there originally. And when they did put lyrics to it, they brought out an album.
Oh, but were the lyrics written, but they've just not been recorded then?
Oh, from what I understand, they didn't add the lyrics till later.
So they were probably written later than two, you think?
From
okay.
That's
from what we understand. All right.
It was the same thing with Bonanza. And when they did the Bonanza one, they got, what's his name? Lauren Green. It was Lauren Green, who was the father on Bonanza, and he sang it. Bonanza.
And there's an entire song there. I've heard it. Yeah.
And they had other people, like different other stars, that did sing the Gilligan and all that. You know, yeah. They'd had the stars.
The Skipper, too.
You know, it's kind of cool. And they'd have longer versions, too.
Yeah.
And that's cool. They would have, like, usually famous people, not always. Sometimes it'd just be the writers of it.
Yeah, well, they still kind of would do that in the 80s because B.J. Thomas did like the theme for Growing Pains.
Yeah, that's
Show
right.
Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile. Thanks a lot, man.
Now it's in your head. In your head. I hate that song. The Zombies one. Okay, moving on.
One of the actors who was on the Andy Griffith Show, Jeremy, you'll get a kick. The guy who always played the music man, by that I mean like the guy who was in charge of the choir and all, he's on a lot of episodes. But he ended up being the voice on most of the Super Friends and the Filmation and Hanna-Barbera. Yeah, when it wasn't this guy, it was Adam West. This guy would be the voice of Batman on the cartoons. And it's really funny when I watch these episodes because of this guy who's on there, because I can't think of him as the Super Friends Batman, but it was him.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And of course, Casey Kasem was always Robin.
Right.
But anyway, unless it was Burt Ward, which is very rare.
Right.
But anyway, it's kind of funny. A lot of these people on Andy Griffith went over to the Flintstones. And, you know, you even have one episode where Floyd the Barber plays the guy on Flintstones. And the guy who would play Ernest T. Bass, he did a lot of voices. Yeah. Mr. Ebop or Ba-ah on Jetsons.
Ebop or Ah.
That means I love you.
Yeah.
these are like... If you go to watch the Flintstones or Jetsons, I can almost guarantee you that one out of every five episodes is an Andy Griffith person.
Yeah. Well, especially the guy who played Otis the Drunk.
Yes.
I forgot his name now. I should remember.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Because he was Owl, and Mr. Whitaker, the original
year.
One. And
1960, it's the same year, the first year
that
of Flintstones.
That guy voiced so many characters. Oh, yeah.
What a great year.
Oh, my goodness. Some of the major casts that I have some notes on, of course, you had Andy Griffith playing Andy Taylor. Mm-hmm. Now, these are not cited, so I haven't necessarily confirmed all these, but some of the information I got was that he was expected to be the main comedic force, but he realized early on that Don Knotts was funnier than he was, so they shifted Andy into more of a straight man role, and that actually is why the show kind of worked better, because Andy made more sense to be like he's the sheriff, that he was the more the straight man one, and then Don Knotts could just do his thing
with humor. He was like, he would a lot of times push the humor, like Barney was like you're talking about Don Knotts, when Barney was the humorous personality. But Andy was like your dad or whoever who would push why it's funny, you know? And that's what made it so great.
And he could give you the moral of the story.
Yeah, he was. Because I think everybody has a father, an uncle, or somebody who they're not necessarily funny, but the way they do things is funny. And that's what made it so great. Or because they're teasing a lot. They're being teasers. He was the teaser. Always teasing Barney.
Yeah.
Yuck, 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 as Barney would say.
Yeah. Well, Barney, because of playing Barney Fife, Don Knotts actually got 5 Emmys for that role. One for all 5 seasons he was there.
He's
one of the most decorated sitcom characters ever.
Yes.
There's a note, and I don't have any notes to anything that confirms it, but it says that he left after season 5 there was a misunderstanding about the show ending.
Yeah, Andy said that that he thought that was it, and because shows didn't always last that long.
Because I think Barney was going on. He went on to go do some movies with Disney and whatnot.
He had made some at the time, like Paramount and others wanted to make some movies, and he said, "Oh yeah, yeah." And then Andy goes, "Well, I told you, don't make anything. It's not final yet. We don't know." And he goes, "Oh, I already signed." And I think it was Paramount, though. I might be wrong about the company, but the first solo film he did. I mean, he did the Ghost. I mean,
Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
That
Apple
was the
Dumpling
first
Gang.
Solo film that he signed with the
Shakiest Gun in the West.
It was
the first one.
Incredible Mr. Olympic was the first one.
That was the first one.
But I want to say that was he did that during his break, like you know, during the season. But honestly, some of the best ones, like Ghost of Mr. Chicken was hilarious. Shaky's Gun of the West was great. There's a few others. I love them.
They're
really fun. I love about those kind of movies and shows like Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
You can just escape.
Yeah.
They're escapism.
Yeah, they're just, it's just wholesome. It's just feel-good stuff.
That's it. They don't have to be realistic.
Yeah, and Ron Howard actually came to the show, started at age 6, and yes. So Andy became kind of a mentor and a father figure for him off-screen.
And his dad was there, too.
Oh, well, of course, because you're 6-year-old, you're going to have your parents around.
His dad would read him the script.
Oh, yeah, because he probably wasn't a very good reader at 6 years old.
Quite a few times. Like, he would just be, like, let's say a deputy or something, and he'd be a federal man. And his dad was an actor, see?
Nice.
So his dad would read it to him.
And so was his little brother.
His little brother, he would play Leon. Or Lee, or whatever you call him, and he'd be the one eating the peanut butter sandwiches, butter and jelly,
and then of course working so with Desi Lu and Paramount. Yes. His little brother is on an episode of Star Trek,
yeah,
with a fake voice on there because he's supposed to be this all wise alien that scares them to daylights and realize, oh no, you humans are not so bad. So yeah, come and meet me. And he's this little guy; he looks like a child.
Yeah, they would do.
Oh, it's a scary episode, but then it's just suddenly
they made
weird.
A great duo pack when they made Playmates toys. They made a great duo pack of that.
The giant creepy head.
We'll say puppet. Supposed to be a puppet and him.
Oh,
and
wow.
He had like a little seat he was sitting on.
Oh,
yo, he's. Yeah, that sounds so horrible because I love Clint.
Oh, golly.
But Clint Howard was always kind of spooky looking.
Yeah.
And he usually plays kind of the Weird's Mobile. But
yeah, in Tango and Cash, he's there. He's Mr. Slinky.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
He's even on Seinfeld playing a weird guy. Yeah. He's great.
He was just, he had a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he makes fun of himself.
Yep. And then, of course, Jim Nabors is Gomer Pyle. He was supposed to actually have been a one-off character, but he got so popular, of course, they spun him off. And that's Jim Nabors is one of the ones, like, I remember when I was a kid, and I think it's a Christmas album or something that Grandma had, and you'd hear him singing, and life was a great singing. And like,
so
that can't be Jim Nabors.
It doesn't even sound.
Because the way he, golly, I mean, oh my goodness.
Well, now, one of the inconsistencies in that show is there being an episode where he's singing operatic like that. And that's how he really sang. And then you get to another episode and he's down in his Gomer.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is not. But the show wasn't always consistent when it came to that kind of stuff. Well, the first couple episodes where Barney shows up. Barney's his cousin.
Oh, yeah.
And then after 2 or 3 episodes, they never mention that again. He's just a friend, you know.
Yeah.
But he was a cousin originally.
Well, that's going to lean right into the first one of some episodes I mentioned that were some favorite ones that I always remember. And it's called Gomer Citizen's Arrest, season 4,
great.
Episode 11.
That's great.
Gomer insists on making a citizen's arrest on Barney for running a stop sign, which is a perfect reversal of Barney, who abuses his authority, and he kind of finally gets a taste of his own medicine. And Gomer's sincerity versus Barney's ego is just comedy
gold. It's a good one. Well, that's
Citizens Arrest. Citizens Arrest. The way Gomer would come charging out there, hollering that at him all the time. Oh, my goodness.
This is rare. Very strange. I was looking at the list of best episodes that a lot of people talk about. I think it's the top 50, we'll say. Maybe not. But I think it's very funny.
Well, pick out one of your five here.
I got two favorites, and there's a lot.
Well, start with one.
Well, the first favorite is probably the Christmas story.
And that's your number one. You could have probably saved it for last. That's right. Let's talk the Christmas one. That's a great one.
Season 1, episode 11, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the second, I'll go to this next.
Wait.
Okay.
One episode at a time. We're going back and forth.
It's just funny how it just so happens to be that most of the favorites happen to be episode 11 of different seasons.
Oh, well, that's
so funny.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned episode 11 of season 4.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Christmas episode. Because we'll get chances. The Christmas episode is also where Margaret Carey is on there with her family.
Right. She's on there a couple
Tinkerbell
times.
Herself.
Yeah, that's right.
And they get locked in prison because the evil store owner just doesn't like them and all this stuff.
Ben Weaver.
Oh, come on in, Mr. Weaver. You can be part of this party, too. Oh, no.
By season 2 or 3.
Where Andy sings Away in a Manger in that one.
That's right. By season 2 or 3, they had a different Ben Weaver, but he wasn't as good.
Yeah, he's such a great little... And he's trying to be this mean villain, but you know he just wants to be part of the party. And he's lonely, but he just won't swallow his pride for most of the episode.
He's a character actor who is on a lot of Westerns and other things. He's an old man.
Yeah, I just love the way Andy's just kind of smart and was like, we just got to find ways to arrest you. And then old Ben Weaver's trying to get himself arrested so he can get locked up. Like, he goes and knocks over a bench and says, well, that's not too... It's Christmas Eve, man. You don't worry about that there, old man.
It's a great one. And it's full of heart.
Yeah.
And also, I never seen it before. And I was a junior, I want to say, maybe sophomore. Not pretty sure junior. A junior in high school. And my mother and father found it on video, and they gave it to me on Christmas Eve. Huh. And it was that Christmas episode. And I watched that thing about four times on that Christmas Eve night because it was so good.
Yeah.
It's not just Christmas Eve. It's from the heart. It's so good.
Yeah.
And plus, if there's any Andy Griffith girl that I liked a lot, it was Ellie from the season one.
Oh my goodness, she was cute.
Adorable.
Oh my goodness.
She was from Father Knows Best. And
she was like the daughter, wasn't she? Yeah.
She was great. And I didn't like the other girls. And that's not to say that I didn't dislike them as people, but I just thought she was great. But the actress didn't want to stay on there, so she didn't.
Yeah.
But either way, that was a great episode.
All right. Well, next on my list, and the third one on my list is probably what you're about to hit next. So we'll get to that one because it's another 11. I know you want to bring it up. But the bike discipline episode, it's called Opie and the Spoiled Kid, season one, episode 3. This is where a wealthy farmer refuses to discipline his son who behaves badly, including he's parked his bike somewhere where he's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And all he had to do was just move his bike, you know, that the kids are like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And so there's a fine that has to get paid. And the kids go, like, well, my dad will go to jail over before we paid him fine, all this other stuff. And
good actor,
because he's just this little rotten kid. But I love, and this clip goes, it's like viral, where Andy's talking to the daddy and he's like, basically said, well, you know, I got a woodshed out back.
Oh,
and because he says, like, there's a lot of things, you know, we can't just, as a father, we can't be his friend and just give him anything they want. We are to guide them and teach them and everything and how to be, you know, good citizens. And it's like, you've got a kid who's going there. It's like the father doesn't believe it till his son comes in. Did you? I bet you just done told him and everything. You'll go to jail, right? Right, dad? And it's like, so your kid doesn't even care if you go to jail.
He
impound the bike because the kid would not comply with the law.
I've seen that kid on other things too, but. One thing I like is they had that kid come back later on as a better kid. And I'm like, I like that.
Yeah.
It shows that discipline does help.
Indeed. Sometimes you got to be taken out back in the woodshed.
That's right.
All right. Now, I bet I know which episode you're going to talk about next.
That's right.
And I have my notes up right here.
Season 2, episode 11.
Yes, sir.
The pickle story.
The pickle story.
I love it. That's where Annie and Barney, they try to avoid hurting Aunt Bee's feelings. I've been in this position many times. They try to avoid hurting her feelings because she makes terrible homemade pickles. And her friend, Clara. Anyway, her friend makes good pickles. Well, Aunt Bee always makes terrible pickles.
Mm-hmm.
But so what they did.
But she thinks everybody just loves them so much. Yeah, and so just, she keeps giving them out. No, oh, here's my pickles.
What she ended up doing is they gave away her pickles and they bought store bought pickles.
Yeah.
And they loved them so much, and then she decided that they're so good. Oh, those are good, she says. She decides she's going. She goes, I wasn't going. I didn't think you guys like my pickles. So this year, I think I'm going to put them into the contest.
Yeah, and like the fair, county fair or something.
So we can't do that. That's dishonest, and it's not fair for her to beat the people who really made their own that was store-bought. So they have to eat them all up, and they're about sick of pickles. You can't blame them.
Yeah.
And so then she has to make all new pickles. And all those poor, she goes, oh, good news. I didn't win, but good news.
I got more pickles.
Yeah, they're all for you. They're like,
it's a great episode.
It's so good.
It was on my list, too. So it was like a two-for-one on that one. That is one of the best, definitely.
Yes,
next one I've got on the list is season 2, episode 17, Barney and the Choir, where Barney insists he's just this wonderful singer in the church choir, but he's painfully off-key, so they secretly turned off his microphone, and Tom Knott's physical comedy and confidence makes this very unforgettable. And the reveal is one of the funniest moments in the entire series.
Yes, that's a great one.
And I love the way Andy just handles Barney the entire time without trying to hurt his feelings. It's like, oh, we just think you're just great. We're going to have you stand off over here by yourself and everything. That way they can have, you know, his microphone over there, so we know exactly which one to shut off. It's just a great episode. And they had like a special concert coming up on that one. I can't remember what the deal was with that.
Yeah. There's so many good ones.
Oh my goodness.
I like here's another great one for you. The Haunted House. That's season 4, episode 2.
Oh, I think again, they need to go in there and they need to go in the house for something. Barney, it's almost like a precursor to the Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
It is. And it's like, You know, I don't even know if it took place in October, but it, you could tell it's kind of a Halloween-ish one, and it's really good. Barney and Gomer try to retrieve a baseball from a supposedly haunted house to find some strange goings on inside. And it's really good. What it I won't say.
I think this was like there's some people hiding in there that just wouldn't be bothered.
I won't say why. It's so hilarious. It's really good.
I think somebody does get arrested by the end of it, though.
I remember. Let's just say, to give a hint, let's just say Otis knows what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And because that even reminds me of like there's one where those fugitives are in town and Andy sets a good trap for him. Doesn't know that Barney. He's kind of sets Barney up to be out there and in danger and stuff.
Yeah.
I've got a list of some other fan favorites here. Of the Man in a Hurry, which is where a stressed businessman learns to slow down. Classic moral lesson. The Loaded Goat, where a goat eats dynamite. Mm-hmm. And I love this one, Barney's First Car, where Barney buys that lemon car and he's so proud of it. And it's a piece of junk.
It's great. Well, you know who's in that? The woman who plays the grandma on The Waltons. She was also on It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And, but she, that's a great episode. They put sawdust or whatever in there. And at one point when they're driving the car, and he's, of course, being Barney.
Uh-huh.
Like, you sit there, and you sit there, and I'll drive the car. And the when he's driving, the little round part in the middle of the steering wheel comes coming up at him.
Yeah.
And they're playing music like a little snake from a snake. Flute player. Anyway, it's funny.
And it's completely unbelievable that would actually be coming up on the car. It's like, how in the world that's supposed to be happening? It's so good.
Season 4, episode 1, Opie the Birdman. That was the one where Opie accidentally
gives a
slingshot. And he accidentally kills a bird.
Yeah, and he feels so bad over it.
He has to, and what Andy does is such a good lesson. As he opens up, he says, "You gonna spank me, Pa?" And he said, "No, not gonna do that." And he opens up the window and he says, "You listen to those birds." He goes, "That'll be punishment enough."
Oh,
because they're waiting for the mom to feed. So he can't bring the mom back. So he starts feeding and taking care of the birds, and he raises them. And by the end of it, he has to set them free, and he's of course afraid to set them free. And also because he loves him.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, really great, he sets him all free. He goes, "That's a good job. You sure did, son." And he goes, "This cage sure does look empty, doesn't it?" He goes, "Yeah, but don't the trees look nice and full?" It's just one of those real great lessons, you know?
Which brings on to some of my talking points now. Why that Mayberry feels more like a moral ideal versus modern TV cynicism. Like the difference between TV then and TV now.
Yeah.
Really. And I don't even watch a lot of modern TV. There's some shows I kind of want to watch. But at some point we watch because like the sitcoms were just so unrealistic. So suddenly we had like the Roseanne show and Married with Children where we had to have the cynicism. And that became funny to people. And I could never get into those. You know, I liked the feel good. I watch TV, you know, I want some escapism. And, you know, growing up watching stuff like Andy Griffith and everything.
I was just telling you.
Idyllic little town.
I was telling you earlier today, these are not the same at all, Andy Griffith. But I was watching some old shows that I used to watch when I was a little boy on Monday nights or Tuesday nights, I don't remember which.
Yeah.
I think it was Monday. But I used to watch this show called Kate and Allie.
And their cute daughters.
I used to watch y'all very cute daughters. And I used to watch Mr. Belvedere, shows like that.
Yes.
They were not classic like that, but, you know, stuff like Webster.
And, yeah, the 80s still had good shows.
They had good morals.
Yeah.
Because they would teach, you know, like Different Strokes would still teach you, you know, not to steal.
Yeah.
Not to talk to strangers. Not to go back to stranger's apartment. Not to do drugs. They would teach. Sadly, the actors didn't always listen.
Right.
What?
I remember they even had that episode about, bulimia.
Because
she was eating and purging and stuff, eating disorders.
I forgot it. To this day, I'm 50 years old. I'm still remembering it.
And it was shows like that where I remember in school when we started talking about like racism and Martin Luther King Jr. I was in shock. I was like, because that's not the world that I thought I was living in. Because, I've got a mixed cousin. And so to me, so she's black, she's part of my family.
No.
And like Different Strokes, they were just people.
Same here.
And I never saw that there was a problem. Although I'm sure Different Strokes dealt with some racial issues quite a bit. But when I was a kid, I didn't notice it, but I didn't realize people don't like people for different skin colors.
Same here. Of course, we didn't know that, but just a decade before, let's just say, 1971, we had All in the Family.
Oh, goodness,
That was to us when we were little kids, that was old.
Yeah, it was an old show.
But we didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I will say this, I didn't know this either. Till like, let's say 15 years ago, I didn't realize that Different Strokes is by the same guy who brought us All Family.
Hmm.
And completely different type.
Yeah.
But still, the main guy on there, let's say the dad, Mr. Drummond, he came from Maude. It came from that show.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. It's interesting that it was basically the same kind of lesson that it doesn't matter if you're black or white or whatever race or kind of person you are. And also, there was another lesson in that. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor.
Yeah. That's a potential other episode. So let's not
dive too far.
Every one of these shows is a potential future episode.
But I will say this. What I like about the old shows, mostly I'm talking about Andy. I like about the old shows is that there was good morals.
Yeah.
Not social mores.
Andy was a quiet moral center.
And you know what I love
just
the most?
Calmly and
I have
not book. Preachy, though. He wouldn't be preachy. No. He'd reason with you.
But you see, here's the other thing. He was a Christian.
Yeah.
And I have a book that talks about biblical values and stories that are in the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
I haven't used it a lot because I don't want people to think I'm preaching sermons only on the Andy Griffith Show. But they're very good morals. They're really good.
Yeah. And the humor, the funny thing is the humor is built on character, not insult comedy.
That's what I think I love the most about
it.
You could go to Mayberry and know everyone.
Yeah.
That's what I like about the small church I've always been a part of since I was five. And even before that, when I'd go there, there were Barney types. There were Gomer types. Goober, that's not a mock, by the way. But there were Floyd the Barber types. Everybody's a person.
Everybody loves all them characters. With all their foibles and everything that makes them who they are, you love them.
Because they're like family.
Yeah.
That's how my church has always felt, like family.
And we've always had, I tell you what, we've had some interesting characters at that church, and I'm probably one of them. I'm definitely a character. I'm just weird. My grandma was a peach. I love my grandma. She was such
a
peach.
Maybe an Aunt B friend or something. Yeah. You know?
I better make sure I'm saying peach loud enough to where everybody knows she's a peach and not I'm saying something else.
She was a real peach.
She was awesome. She was just funny, and I get a lot of personality quirks from grandma.
She was great.
I really do.
You know, that's what I love about people in life. When you go to family reunions, you know, some people will focus only on the negative. Well, that's the old school. No. As you get older, you realize old school is good school.
Yeah. Ain't no school like the old school.
Exactly
right. Yep. I mean, heck, you've already hit with the final talking point I had about, that's fine. It's perfect. Because of the biblical values, patience, humility, discipline, and grace.
It.
And they were subtle. They were there and you learned them, but they didn't have to preach at you and stuff. They would just teach you and stuff. It's give you something you might kind of think on while you're giving a good laugh at things.
One of my favorite, this is not the Andy Griffith Show. This is
a potential other episode.
This is the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, that's definitely going to be another episode. I used to love that
there
show.
There was an episode that I had never seen until I was maybe 15 or maybe 14 or 15. Because I had just gone for my first brain surgery. So I would have still been technically 14. But I stayed at home really hurting that day. Because I going through brain surgery is rough. But going through when you're 14, you know, I was better then because the body hadn't been through before. But still going through some seizure issues. Well, I watched this episode they aired that day where it was one of those wonderful episodes where it's kind of like looking back because their kid was like, let's say 7 or 8 years old, and they was remembering whenever they had the baby.
Yeah.
And this episode.
I miss those where they'd have episodes where they'd flash back the season, everything's happened this season or something, you know.
I'm not even going to tell you the ending of it, but it deals with race, it deals with other humor and things. Mm-hmm. But they think that they misplaced the baby at the hospital.
Oh no!
It's so much fun. And
I think I've seen that one. It sounds
so
familiar.
Doggone funny.
Oh gracious!
And what's really great is Rob, because that's Dick Van Dyke's.
Yeah.
Rob is trying to find a way to tell his wife we have the wrong baby.
Oh no!
So funny. But it dealt with everything. It dealt with love. It dealt with race. It dealt with confusion. Dealt with everything. It was so funny.
Yep. It was giving you a slice of real life, but just having some fun with it and giving humor.
Just a little exaggerated.
Give you some humor so it was fun to watch.
Yes, that's it.
But you understood it because you could still relate to characters.
That's,
like Andy Griffith, you could. There's probably because I relate to Barney and the insecurity. He really was kind of pretty insecure, but he had this false vibrato that he presented. And sometimes I feel like I do that a little bit.
I know Barney's though.
Yeah.
I wasn't pointing to you like that. I was pointing back with my thumb, but I didn't mean him. I actually have had some family members who kind of have that insecurity, but they pretend that they're arrogant.
Oh, I don't know that I pretend that I'm arrogant, but I try to mask, though, my insecurities.
All of us have done that.
Yeah.
For instance, when I was younger and I was in learning disability, I was told originally, this is embarrassing, by the way, but I was told that learning disability meant that you was mentally retarded. This is what I was told.
Oh, but that's it just means you have some difficulties, some challenges.
Children who've never been in it and other kids. And for whatever reason, and I'm sure you've gone through this, people sometimes will tell you those things to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that because I felt so bad about myself all the time. And so I went with what they said. I must really be bad. And so then when I was listening to all that, I was like, maybe there is something wrong with me. Of course, it didn't help when I had a brain tumor at 14. I thought maybe there is something wrong.
Yeah. So I can't help but keep saying that my brain's going a Little Mermaid. Maybe he's right. Maybe there is something the matter with me. I just don't understand how a world of mess, such wonderful things could be bad.
That's only 1 year. You're talking about my brain surgery? That's only a year after my
mermaid. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I listen to it all the time. Every time.
Wowzer.
But either way, but the truth is, no, man. We all are imperfect. Right. Every single one of us are imperfect. That's okay.
Well, except for maybe me. I'm practically perfect in every way. Me and Mary Poppins are hanging out judging the rest of you. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, I'm kidding. If you thought that was serious, then you don't know me or something. I don't know.
Andy Griffith is definitely my favorite show of all time.
Yeah, I think as I've gotten older, I appreciate it more than when I watch episodes. I need to sit and just probably watch the whole daggum thing, but I don't watch TV. But yeah,
another show that I love. I sometimes say it's my second,
which
favorite.
Is also a potential another podcast episode.
The family, but it's not the same at all. Yeah. I'm in a completely different.
And that's one of the ones that, like, I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't get into that show.
No, it's different.
I really couldn't. But
I started watching that when I was 14 and 15. Start watching it.
Yeah. But that's a potential other podcast episode. So I'm going to wrap this segment up and once again remind you all, hey, if you get the NeverlandPodcast.com on the network, you can find Watching Movies with My Pastor, which I will also be releasing an episode where we're watching No Time for Sergeants, which is a great tie-in to this episode. So if you've enjoyed this, you want to hear more about Andy Griffith and some of the fun stuff he did, just go right over into there. I didn't say that very well at all.
One other thing with that, there's a spinoff show called Mayberry
RFD. RFC.
RFD. Maybe you're right, but it's not as good.
Yeah.
But in fact, there's a character that for whatever reason they decided to write out, and that is on that show, Andy Griffith has Andy Jr. Now, not him, but Helen. They have Andy Jr. And Don Knotts shows up on the first episode and on a couple others. Don Knotts shows up as Barney. But for whatever reason, they decide to write that character off because when they did the Return to Mayberry movie, no Andy Jr. Andy's not even mentioned.
Andy Jr.? There was no Andy Jr. It's only been Opie.
Yeah, so that's. I guess it wasn't well received. And it was just an okay show.
Yeah.
But, what are you going to do?
But what you can do. And so there will not be a podcast episode talking about that show.
No, no, no.
Because I didn't watch it. It didn't have an effect on me in Gen X.
I can get it on Prime, but I don't know that I'll spend the money.
Don't really want to do it. Not going to do it.
It
would not be prudent at this juncture.
It's all right.
All righty. I do want to remind you all about Podgagement. There's a link for that at NeverlandPodcast.com. That is Daniel J. Lewis's fantastic service. If you happen to have a podcast, you need some tools to make it successful. Podgagement has all the tools. You'll find that at NeverlandPodcast.com. We also want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Orange Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction to our show. Don't forget to email us, podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com. We are on X as Neverland PCast. I think I kind of post stuff about all of the podcasts on that particular page. On Facebook, we're under the Fandom Nexus. That's where you will find the page. Just hit like. You also can find the Facebook group. That is still under Neverland Podcast. So within that group, I can talk about all things within the network and a lot of other different fun stuff. And you can interact a lot more in a group, so it's more fun. Don't forget to check out the Fandom Gamer on YouTube. I need to post some more video. I don't know if I have anything finished right now. I need to play some more stuff that I haven't already posted up there. But that's where I share a lot of game video. Now, the games themselves might not be family friendly, but I am. So at least you have that. I don't always talk in the videos. Sometimes I like to have a talking in there. Sometimes I don't. It depends upon like what I'm watching, you know. So hopefully some of you enjoy hearing me talk over a game. But if you don't, that's okay. I won't do it. All right. Well, I'll do it sometimes. All right. I will admit. But, okay. Anyways, but you can also donate. Don't forget patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. So you'll find links for that over at the website. Also, with Red Circle that I have all my podcast on. There is an exclusive membership you can get where I do have the ad-free episodes other than me talking about some of our sponsors directly. You can get it ad-free on Patreon. You can get those episodes early. So it's definitely, it's a highlight. It's a win-win for us both. It helps us all out. And if I've been a part of your life over the last like 12, 13 years, as long as I've been doing this, you want to keep the show growing, keep us alive. Even $5 a month helps me keep the lights on, help us build maybe, you know, some bigger projects in the future. You never know. No copyright infringement is intended. Copyright is held, of course, by the respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes under fair use license. And now, get lost in an adventure. And I will see you next time.